God bless you. Minister to us what's on your heart tonight.
Praise the Lord. I would feel much better if we would give that unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. It is indeed a privilege and honor to be back in your life here tonight and to see some familiar faces and to minister the word of the Lord with you. We just got into Ohio just Monday morning after coming out of West Virginia. We have traveled all through the South since the month of October. And God has been good to us, and we thank the Lord for the response of the people of the Lord and for what God has laid upon their heart to do for worldwide missions. Praise God. And how many are happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Thank God. It is indeed a great privilege and honor to come back and minister to you. I chose to preach tonight because Brother Steve Well was here, I believe it was, not too long ago, and had showed you slides, so I didn't want a repeat of that. But I thought maybe we would bring you something from the good word of the Lord. Amen. How many are happy? Praise the Lord. How many can say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And I didn't know really what to preach on, but the Lord has been speaking to my heart here of late about a few things. And as we travel, and I feel that we will hear from what the Lord wants to for us to hear tonight. Amen. I would like to sing a chorus, and if you would stand with me and help me sing it tonight, as I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Where are our musicians? Everybody left me. Amen. Let's sing it. Let's worship the Lord, and let's give the Lord all the honor and the glory tonight. Oh, I will praise Him. Oh, I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Oh,
let's love him right now. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord, tonight, and we give you all the glory and praise that's due your worthy name. Thank you, mighty God, for this time, God, that we can worship you, Lord, and give you, Lord, all the exaltation, Lord, that's due your worthy name. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would meet with us tonight, Lord, and you would speak to your people, God, and that you would have your complete way, Lord, in this service tonight. Oh, God, we want to hear from you, Lord, and we want to feel your mighty presence. Jesus, I pray tonight that you would talk to each and every heart that's here and deal, Lord, with each and every soul, God, that has come here tonight. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Do we know that chorus, God's been good? He's really been good. Amen. How many feels that God's been good to you? Amen. He's really been good. Amen. No complaints tonight. Thank God. Even though my wife and son were involved in an automobile accident, tore up the front of the car, and I don't know how long it's going to take to get it fixed. I don't know. And she was pretty shook up about it. And my son was kind of bruised up. I guess he hit the dashboard. But other than that, God's been good. Amen. And in still in all things, we have to learn how to give praise and honor and glory to Him. Hallelujah. You have to learn how to do that. Amen. Not every day the sun's going to shine. Not every day you're going to feel like shouting. Not every day you're going to feel like running the aisles. Amen. But it's walking that fine line straight, thank God. And every day can be a glorious day in Jesus. Amen. I'm not basing my experience or the depth of my salvation on how I feel right now or how I felt this morning. But I know I'm saved. How many knows that you're saved? How many has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? How many, thank God, is glad you've been changed? You're not the same. Hallelujah. The Lord has done a great work and has blessed you. And the things you used to say, you don't say anymore. The places you used to go, you don't go there anymore. Hallelujah. Nobody's holding a gun to my head telling me how I have to live. I choose to be a Christian. I choose to number myself with the people of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you feel like that? Let's sing it tonight. Oh, God's been good. Been so good. Been so good to me. Just can't let him down. I just can't let him down. He's been so good to me. Praise God. Let's sing it. Oh, God's been good. Oh, he's really been good. Oh, he's been so good to me. I just can't let him down. I just can't let him down. He's been so good to me. Hallelujah. Let's sing it unto him. Oh, God's been good. Oh, he's really been good. Oh, he's been so good to me. I just can't let him down. Just can't let him down. Just can't let him down. He's so good to me. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's really been good to me. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. I want to sing one more chorus. Old chorus. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He has done for me. Hallelujah. My soul, my very innermost being cries out to Him. Hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Amen. Maybe some of you are not where you need to be. And maybe all of us are not where we ought to be. But thank God we're not what we used to be. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I say, don't be too judgmental. Don't be too harsh. Because God's not through with me yet. Amen. How many feels like that? God's still working on you. Amen. He's still working on you. Amen. So, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But we're all forgiven. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. We're all forgiven. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing it tonight. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He has done for me, oh, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He has done for me, oh, then my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. You go up. We have one. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He has done for me, oh, then my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Isn't that the truth? Hallelujah. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For He's the lily of the valley. And the bright and morning star, and He's the fairest of in town. Everybody ought to know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Hallelujah. And the church says, praise the Lord. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Joshua. Amen. It's good to be back again. See Mom and Dad and Sis and my brother Rod and all the familiar faces I see. Some of you I know in the crowd, and we'll get to greet you later, but thank God it's been a long time, 4 years since we've been here. We don't know if we'll have another 4 years or not. Amen. We don't know. And if I were to believe in my feeling, then I would say we don't have another 4 years. But who's to know? Who's to say? Only but the Lord. But the main thing is to live every day like He's coming that day. Amen. And one of these times He will come. One of these days it will be the last service that you'll have ever hear the minister preach. Amen. Better make sure when you go out these doors you got what it takes to make it to heaven. Hallelujah. Better make sure that you made your calling and election sure when you leave this place. Amen. You have all your wrongs righted. Have all your sins under the blood. You have all spirits that seem to take hold once in a while. You have all that stuff out. Hallelujah. Heaven's going to be worth it all. Amen. Come on, church. I'm talking to a people that's on their way to heaven. Hallelujah. Thank God. Heaven's going to be worth it all at any cost. Amen. That's right. We better get ready to shout about it. We better start learning how to praise the Lord for it. We don't know how to praise Him down here, we're sure going to feel out of place up there.
Hallelujah. Amen. If you get tired of the praises and the worship and the glory that we give and honor, the honor we give to Him down here, you're surely going to be out of place up there. Hallelujah. Because we're going to be shouting around the throne throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Amen. We're not going to have anybody telling us it's 9 o'clock and we have to go home. Thank God. We're not going to have to go back to jobs. Not going to have to do deputation no more. Wear out the tires and the car and our bodies and all that to boot. Thank God. It'll be one glorious time to be with the Lord and to worship Him and to love Him. Hallelujah. It'll be one glorious day. Thank God that we can shout and sing the praises of God forever and forever. Amen. I want to be among those, don't you? Hallelujah. I want to be among those. Thank God. And to hear Him say, well done, is the most important thing that you and I could have Him say to us. But to hear Him say, well done, means to have done well. In order for Him to say that, praise God. And if you would please, Joshua chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 5, number 2. He said, the son of Nun, Moses, minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to thee, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness, and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward going down to the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man, note verse number 5, any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. Everybody say, so shall I be with thee. And I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto my their fathers to give them. Turn with me also to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, a very familiar portion of Scripture we'll be reading there. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And verse 20 says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Everybody say, the Lord working with them. That's what we want, isn't that? Amen. We want that more than anything in the world. The Lord to be with us. And confirming the word with signs following. Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. Thank God. Praise the Lord. I will mention something before I get into this, because I do not want to take away from the Spirit of the Lord and what He has to say, His Word. Being missionaries, my wife gets on me so many times, I forget to do this. And I better mention to you some needs we have in Chile, if you would like to donate to that. These are some needs that we have for the work there and for our work there. A fax machine, $900, outgoing fare and freight. We'll probably need about $4,000 to $5,000 if you want to make a contribution to that. We know that's a lot of money to come up with and that, but if you want to make a contribution to that, then see me after church. Any contribution towards that will help us in a great way. My account still is in the red, and it probably will not be out of the red until later on towards the end of the year. Hopefully we will be done by deputation then, and then we can go on back. But if not, we'll have to at least stay till we get out of debt. And so it would help us if the Lord should speak to your heart. See me after church, and we would be more than happy to turn your contribution in The church will receive credit for it for foreign missionary giving, and it will be sent on to headquarters to be put in a separate account to lie there until we need it. Praise God. And so, the text that I would like to preach to you about this for a few moments would be, what will it take for the Lord to work with us? What will it take for the Lord to again work with us? All through the years, we have labored, most of us, faithfully to the Lord, and we have sought God desperately throughout the years. Being born into the church and knowing what it was like to go to sleep on Pentecostal benches and going home at very late hours because of what the Lord was doing in that service, I remember those days very, very plainly, very clear. It's very clear to me about those days that we had. And it seemed to be that the Lord was working with us. It seemed to me that the Lord used to work the miracles and work through His people in a special way. And I remember it so clearly tonight. But I would to God that the Lord would speak to us in a manner that each and every soul that's here, that you would make up your mind tonight that you will have the Lord work through you, and that the Lord could do a work of righteousness, and He would do a careful work in your life. And maybe you're not where you ought to be with the Lord, and maybe you're not as joyful as you were at one time in the Lord. But I do believe that the Lord is giving us time to get these things arranged and get these things cleared up in our life, and giving us space to repent and come closer to Him in this hour. And I believe that we better be very careful in how we walk with the Lord in these days, and not to take advantage and not to take for granted what the Lord has imparted to us and given us over the years. And as Moses had led the children of Israel all through the land, and we find that their going about in the wilderness wasn't actually necessary, but it was through their evil heart and their deceitful heart there that kept them from going over into the promised land. And let me say that unbelief is one of the most detrimental things that can hinder the child of God from going on. Unbelief. God hates it. God hates it. It makes God a liar. God says, I'll do something, and you don't believe it. You're saying, in other words, you're lying. I don't believe you. If you tell somebody that something happened and they say, well, I don't believe you, well, in essence, they're saying, well, you're a liar. And that's what makes unbelief so bad. God can't work through unbelief. Never could. And He never will. Jesus could not do many great miracles in one city because of the unbelief there. But the Bible says, the signs shall follow them that believe. I'm asking you tonight, how many true believers do we have in our midst tonight? How many people that are really true, one God, hallelujah, apostolic tongue-talking believers that believes in the true gospel, that believes in the full gospel of Jesus Christ? And we better not ever water this thing down or make this thing in a way that it will take away from what God has done for us. We better be very, very careful and very mindful of how we walk. And the Bible tells us that we should walk worthy of Him. We have a lot of people that are not walking worthy of the Lord. We have too much sin in our midst. We still have too much doubt and unbelief. We still have a whole lot of things that don't need to be in our midst tonight, thank God. But what will it take, my friend, for the Lord to work through you is the question. What does God have to do in order to get you to do a work for Him? What does God have to do to the church to get the church alive and fresh and vibrant
to whereas the point is that every time we come to church, it is a great expectation of the presence of God and the glory of God. So many people are tired and sick and tired, and they're tired of the charisma. They're tired of all the planned out things and the events that are going on. But I'm saying tonight that more than ever, we need to go back once again and take a fresh look at Calvary all over again. And let's see what the Lord has brought us from. And don't ever let us forget the days when God brought us out of sin. And let's keep our backs turned against the world. Let's keep our backs turned against the temptations of the devil, the very wiles of Satan. We're living in a perplexing time when the devil is fighting and he's doing everything to rob you of your victory and doing everything to take you down. And you were going to fight. I believe in my soul that the church is going to have to really fight the fight of faith in order to make it in. And we do not need to fool ourselves one bit. That if the indication that we see in Matthew chapter 25 is anything of the church, then only half of us are going anyway. Amen. Don't get quiet on me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Only half of us are going. Can you imagine that? Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, those and aunts and uncles and friends and relatives that we've grew up with and have blazed the trail together and have sought the Lord together and fought devils together, only to come down to this last hour and found out that we didn't have what it took to get it. We didn't have what it took to make it. And we have served God this long. But I'm telling you that I've made up my mind, no matter what cost I have to pay, whatever trouble I have to go through, whatever valley I have to walk through, that I've got my mind and my heart set on a goal tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've got my plans, thank God, to get out of here someday. And this world is not my home. And I'm just passing through here. Praise the Lord. You can have it. You can have all that I have, what little I do have. When we came to the mission field, we sold everything we had. And all we got is the clothes on our back. But that's all right. Thank God. I'm looking for a place that's better than this. I'm looking for a place, thank God, that's better than this, where the sun never sets. Hallelujah. Thank God, where there's no more heartache, where there's no more fear, where there's no more dying, no more grief, no more sickness, and no more sorrow. Hallelujah. When I think of that, it makes me want to get in and do everything that I can do in this hour to make sure, thank God, that I have enough oil in my vessel. Thank God, to make it into God's holy city. Thank the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Have you got yourself in a place where God can work through you? Have you got yourself in a place where the Lord can take and use you to the point that He can get glory out of your life? What type of vessel are you offering Him today? The Lord is not looking for a vessel that's only half filled. The Lord is not looking for a vessel that's just a quarter of the way filled. But He's looking for a vessel that is wholly filled with the oil of God. We find out in the day of the prophet that there came a woman unto the prophet that said, "What can I do? I don't have anything, but my husband is dead, and now my sons are left, and these my creditors are going to take them as bondsmen, and I don't know what to do." It was a perplexing situation that this lady was in, but the prophet told her. He asked her the question, "What have you in your house?" And she said, "Nothing but save a little bit of oil." And I would liken that to when the devil would come to take our families and to come and to just to try to pull the very flesh off of our bones, so to speak, and try to destroy us. The questions asked when the creditors have come to try to take us bondsmen and to put us under the thumb of the devil. What do we have in the house?
I'm telling you, there should be a little bit of the Holy Ghost left in our soul that will have enough Holy Ghost there that we can have some victory, that we can see God do some miracles in our midst like He's never seen before, my friend. Don't ever get to a place that you think that God's not with us anymore. I'm telling you, He's here with us, and He wants to do a great work in the church. But oh God, are we opening ourselves up? Open our minds and our hearts and our souls up to the Lord, that He can do a work through us like He wants to do. Hallelujah. Are you a yielded vessel? Are you a yielded vessel? Can we go the way that God wants us to go? Israel tried that one time and got in trouble with God. Found out that they had had some battles. But the problem was the presence of God was no longer in their midst. And that was a perplexing situation, a terrible situation. No victory, no presence of God. How bad is it if we ever come into a Pentecostal church where there's no victory, no power, no praise, no worship? Amen. Shame on us. Shame on us. Thank God. What has God saved us from? David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So many people are asking the question, mom and dad, sons and daughters, are we going to the house of God tonight? It shouldn't be any question. It shouldn't be any question if we love the Lord. Who are we in love with anyway? Hallelujah. Are we in love with personalities, or are we in love with Jesus? Hallelujah. Amen. We better check some motives and reasons out. Israel got into trouble with God. Therefore, the presence of the Lord was coming back to Israel. And they had been so far from the presence of God and so long gone from God that they thought just any way would work. Just thought any old-fashioned way would work. So what did they do? They stuck the Ark of the Covenant on a cart pulled by an ox, and thought that would do. They got going down the road, and there the cart happened to hit a chug hole or a pothole in the road, and there it shook a little bit and began to fall off the side. And we find out the man reached out to steady it, and God on the spot cut him down, and there he was laid dead. And all of Israel began to question. David himself began to question God. How shall I bring the ark back? How will I get your presence back into Israel again? And therefore, he began to seek after God. And it's not really all that hard to figure out, David. It's not all that hard to figure out. You don't have to have a Bachelor of Theology to try to figure that out. You just need to get your nose back in the book again and see what God, Lord, what His presence, hallelujah, to get His presence back in, what we have to do to get it there. And what happened? We find out that when he looked into the book, he found that the Levites were the only ones that were qualified to bring the ark back. And when he did that, he said, hey, fellas, we've been doing it the wrong way. We've been doing it our way. And we've got into trouble here. We want God back in Israel. I'm saying, church, we want God back in the church again. We want the power of God back in our midst again. We want to know what it's like for a sinner to weep their way back to God again. We want to know what it's like for someone that comes here for the very first time. We don't want just to sing of something that'll get them all shook up and go out of here the same. But we better have a red hot Holy Ghost power in our midst, that it will make a difference in that life when it comes in this place. That when it goes out of here, they're going to know of a truth that God is in this place and the Spirit of God dwells here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So therefore, David said, all right, fellas, get a hold of it. There they put it on their shoulder. Started carrying it down the road. They went six steps. One, two, three, four, five, six. Stopped. That's all for a sacrifice. Hallelujah. God's not going to kill us. Amen. It was a glorious time. And therefore, David got all carried away. And when he saw that God was back in Israel again, therefore, he didn't care how he acted. It didn't make one dime's worth of difference to him that God was back in his presence again. Thank God. It was God working with him again like he did of old. The presence of God was back into Israel again. I'm telling you, let's don't put this thing on a cart and call it down the road and think we're going to connive God and talk God into blessing us. I'm telling you, we better get somebody anointed of God. We better get somebody prayed up again. Amen. To where they can take this thing and we can go and we can please the Lord in this hour. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. God working with us again. God working with us again. Have you ever thought about it? What Elijah did on Carmel. There he was. Had a great victory on Mount Carmel. And saw the prophets of Baal slain there, numbered and slain. And Ahab, as wicked as he was, Elijah had to go down and find another victory. It was time to pray. See, the thing with us, with we Pentecostals is, we go from victory to disaster. We go from victory to disaster. We go in a way that because God has given us a victory, we can let up and we can take our vacation, so to speak, and we can rest on our laurels, rest there and take it easy. And we've just had a great move of God. I'm telling you, that's when the time it is that we need to hit it the hardest. Amen. Because that's when the time the devil's going to fight you the hardest. And you're going to have to make sure that you've got enough victory to see yourself through. Don't let the devil cheat you and lie to you and tell you that you've got enough victory when you don't have enough. Oh God, there's no flesh that's ever going to glory in His presence. Thank God. We better check our motives and our attitudes and wonder why we're in this thing. Amen. God's not interested in what position we've held. He's not interested in what job I've got, if I'll ever make field superintendent or not, or district superintendent. That's not what God's interested in. But God's interested in how much victory I have. He's interested in how much Holy Ghost I have. He's interested to know how much love I have for Him and for His people. Praise the Lord. And therefore, Elijah went to pray. The Bible said Elijah was a man of like passions as we. Some people picture him as a great, great, awesome man. But the Bible says he was a man of like passions as we. But he prayed earnestly. See, Ahab went to eat and drink. Ahab thought it was a game. He thought it was a hilarious time. He thought he discounted the fact what the Lord had done because his heart wasn't right with God in the first place. And therefore, instead of following the prophet down to the place whereas he could seek God and have himself a revival, he went up to eat and drink. He thought it was just a gay old time. It was another party. It was just another time to play. But no, the prophet got down to business with God. You've got to realize it had been 3.5 long years since Israel had seen rain. Oh God, I'm telling you, don't ever let it be said of the church, or any church of that matter, that it's been 3.5 long years since we felt the presence of God and we've seen God do miracles and we've seen God perform, amen, the what He wants to do in our midst, because we've got so carried away with the carnal things, with the things that we think that could take the place and substitute for the plan of God and His methods. But I'm telling you, if we really want God to work with us, we're going to have to say, oh God, here am I, Lord, work a work through me and make me what ought to be in this hour. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not a party we want. It's not a game that we want. But it's the power of God that we want in our midst. It's the Holy Ghost we want in our midst. It's the touch of God that's got to be upon our church. It's the power of God that's got to work in operation in the Spirit in our midst. If we're ever going to make a dent in this city, sure we'll have some of them come in. Sure we'll have some of them get baptized. But they'll run out of here as fast as they come in because there's no power to hold them here. I'm telling you, we better have the power of God if we want to see the revival and have God work with us the way that He wants to work. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God. So there the prophet prayed. He sought God desperately, put his head between his legs. He was so desperate. Oh God, 3.5 long years since we've seen the miraculous, since we've seen rain. 3.5 long years, Lord. How long has it been? I'm asking you the question, how long has it been since the Lord has spoken through you again? How long has it been since you've been to the well? Some people hadn't been to the well long enough, they forgot what water tasted like. Amen. And the well's dry. And the well's dry. Oh God, we care so much for flesh, and flesh at its best is still flesh. It's still flesh. It's going to die. We pamper it. We powder it. People paint it and everything else. Oh God, it's still going to go by the way of the grave one of these days. But they make no preparation for the soul that's going to live forever somewhere. They live on and they casually cast the thought off. And they'll spend their time pampering and primping and all of this and that to try to make flesh. It's going to go by the way of the grave. It's going to fail and going to go down. But you can't get them out to a prayer meeting to save your life. When there's a prayer meeting called, when it's time to pray, there's nobody there. They would rather be somewhere else. But oh God, I'm talking about the Lord working with us. I'm talking about the Lord as He told Moses, Joshua, as I've been with Moses, so will I be with you. Hallelujah. As the Lord has been with some of our forefathers, and we've seen the miraculous and seen the touch of God. Oh God, don't let us ever get too high and mighty and too educated and too well planned that we can't have an operation of the Holy Ghost in our midst and have the touch of God working through us again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So therefore he sent the servant out. He said, go see. Go down there, see. Mind you, Ahab now is up there eating and drinking, having a gay old time. Not concerned about anybody. And that's what we've got. We've got a lot of people that are eating and drinking, and while the others are paying the price for a revival, the others are paying the price. They're praying and seeking God, and the others are casually just going along for the ride. They're like barnacles on a religious boat. They've attached themselves, and they think because they come and they can suck the glory and the praise and that out of this church. Because I'm not talking about this church in Job. I'm talking about the church of God in whole, the church of the living God. They don't have any more Holy Ghost than a man in the moon. But it's got stale. It's got old. They've got so used to it, and they don't know what it's like. Oh God, take us back again. I don't know what God's got to do with us to shake us awake to light again, my friend. But He's going to do something to shake us awake in this last day if we're not careful. If we're not careful. Oh God, help us to awake before it's too late. The man sent him down and said, what do you see? Servant came back. I don't see anything. What did Elijah do? He kept praying. Kept seeking God. He had a burden. He had such a vehement desire to see God move again. 3.5 long years. Church has been long gone since they've ever seen anybody pray through. People long gone, way past the years, that they haven't touched God and they haven't sought God for themselves, and they don't know what it's like. But they come on just like everything's all right and gentle, but God's so far away that they don't know what well water's all like, because it's been so long. So therefore, they just come and sit.
and look at and act and act like everything's all right. But I'm talking about these signs shall follow them that believe. God working with us. Hallelujah. God working with us. When you get to the point your riches and your things and your bank accounts and all this don't matter to you, all this stuff and all these things are all right in their place. But man, we got people that won't give $10 to missions. We got people who won't give $20 to missions and got money stashed away. I'm telling you, God's going to do some reckoning in one of these days, and He's going to do some shaking, and there's going to be some shaking going on in the world. My friend, you mark it down, and you're going to find how much your fantastic savings and all this you've got is going to amount to in God's eyes on that day. Better be making some investments in the kingdom of God. Amen. Where the moth does not corrupt and rust, and that and thieves don't break in and steal. We better be laying up some treasures on the other side. Oh God, we better be laying something up for when we get there, and have something waiting on us when we get there. Hallelujah. And He sent the man out again. What do you see? And he said, I don't see anything, prophet. I don't see nothing out there. He said, go again. See, it's going to take heartfelt prayer, saints. It's going to take laying yourself on the line before God. I remember the time in Chile when we were thousands of miles away. Nobody knew what we were going through, and going through a time. My son had high blood pressure, and 33 people get baptized in the Holy Ghost in our national conference. We had preached revival up north and seen 18 souls there receive the Holy Ghost in one little church. And oh, the devil was bad and fighting there. And there, as the dog came in and jumped on our bed, I got up. My wife and I got up and we ran and we went into the room, and we knew Shelly wasn't making any sound, any noise at all. And there we looked, and there she was looking up at us, but she couldn't speak, and she was paralyzed. She had no feeling on one side. And oh, we began to pray. We began to seek God. No one to call. You're going to have victory to get a hold of God yourself. You better have some victory stored up. You better have some reserve stored up in your soul to know how to touch God in that hour. Hallelujah. You're not going to be able to call the preacher all the time. You're not going to be able to call somebody sometime. Now, somebody's not going to be able to pray the prayer of faith for you. You better have enough victory to get a hold of God yourself. Hallelujah. In that hour. And I remember we prayed, and it seemed like we were praying against a wall. And we prayed, and we thought, God, I came and I started cursing the devil. I told him how much I hated him, how he was a liar, that God sent us there, that we didn't care what he would send. He would send it on us, but we were going to have victory. We were going to have revival. We were going to have God moving through us, God working through us, God sending souls through us. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. And there we prayed. I don't know how long we prayed. Probably a couple, 3 hours. I don't know. It's just like it was prayed for an eternity. And finally, we got through to some victory, and she got some feeling in it. Then she started passing out all through any place. She would just pass out. She passed out one day downtown and fell and hit her head up against something and busted her head. Just passing out. All the doctors saw, they did an EEG on her, and they said, there's something wrong here. The one doctor thought it could be a tumor. They put her in these scanners and all this. And it was like we was throwing money down a hole. I was so mad at the devil. I told him, I said, devil, I hate you, and you just think you're going to run me off, but I'm bound, determined that I'm going to preach it so much the more. I'm going to preach it so much the harder. I'm going to preach it so much the more, devil. You can keep it turning the heat on, but I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to love God, and I'm going to see revival, and I'm going to see God move in our midst. Hallelujah, for I'm hungry. Hallelujah, my soul is thirsty. My heart is hungry to see the Lord move and to have a demonstration of the power of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then it kept on. The doctors there, they said, we don't know. They injected medicine in her vein, radioactive medicine, nuclear medicine. Her hair came out in gobs. And there she cried. And over that she said, oh, my hair, mommy, is coming out. And there, we didn't know what to do. We just said, well, honey, just go on. And we know what it's all about, and God understands. But then one day, one evening there, we were having a great time. And we saw souls in our church there filled with the Holy Ghost. She was back there teaching her Sunday school class, and she could hear the praises and the worship out in the sanctuary. And she, the Lord spoke to her there, and she came out and she said, "Mommy," she said, "have someone come back to my class." She said, "I feel the Lord spoke to me and said that if I go out and have Daddy in the church pray for me and gather around me, that God would heal me tonight." Oh, she came out there. I told the church. The church and I gathered around. I tell you, we were having a time, and we laid hands on her, anointed her with oil. She said it felt like a hot searing knife that went from the top of her head all the way down to the toes. And from that time, thank God, there was no more passing out. There was no more pain. There was no more, thank God. I'm telling you, I'm talking about God working with us. I'm talking about having a Holy Ghost move. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Oh God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Devil wasn't satisfied with that. We had a victory, and it's time to keep on. But the devil wasn't satisfied with that. My wife, she came down sick, and she was running a high, raging fever. I never will forget it. We took her to the clinic there, and they diagnosed it as kidney failure, kidney stones in one, and an extreme urinary tract blockage. And the doctor should have put her in the hospital then, and he didn't because he wasn't a specialist. But we didn't know what doctor to see there, but we went to prayer. We kept praying, believing God. She was so sick, I never will forget it. We had nurses coming around every 8 hours to the house, injecting her there as she was in bed. We would have prayer, and we would see the Lord's hand operate in other areas there. I would still have to travel and still have to pastor there and still take trips and visit the churches while she was sick. From the month of October of 1990 to June of 1991, she was hospitalized 6 times and operated on 4 times. Had 2 blocked bowels and 2 bowel obstructions there. They had to remove a kidney stone that was lodged in her kidney. And she had the severe urinary tract infection there that had blocked completely there, restricted. And also 3 ulcers. One that the doctor said was close to perforation. And therefore we sought God. And there she would go back to the hospital. And it just seemed like it was a testing time. It was a trying time. But I can remember going down the road. We're driving the cars and going there, preaching in our churches, seeing the hand of God move in our churches. People would come and receive healing and receive the Holy Ghost, only to go back to my family and see her laying there sick. But I'm telling you, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything was all right with God. I'm telling you, you better have some resources laid up there to know that when it's time to go, or know what, no matter may come or what may come your way, that you have enough God in your soul, that everything is right between you and the Lord. Hallelujah. And I fought a battle over healing. We had seen some ministers that had died. Brother Calk, my precious friend in Life Tabernacle Church, Brother Kilgore's associate and co-pastor there, had died from cancer. We had had seen the hand of the Lord so strong there, but he didn't receive his healing. And some other men that we knew of that died of cancer at an early age. And there we seemed like we couldn't get victory. But the devil would tell me as I would drive to the churches, he would say, "You can't preach healing. God's gone past that. That was just for those in the old days. And God is not healing anymore. He's not in the healing business or other Otherwise, he'd have healed Brother Calk. He would have healed your wife. He would have healed this other brother and this other brother. He would have done that. And I would tell him as I would go to these churches, devil, you quit bugging me with that, because I'm not about to listen to your garbage. I know what the Bible says. And the Bible says that he shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm telling you, we better know the Word of God well enough that when it comes that time, that we're going to have enough Holy Ghost to use it and see the Lord use it for us in operation in that hour. Thank God. And I would preach. I took a trip south. I would preach in our churches there, and there would be sick and the needy there, and they would come forth, and I would tell them, saints, I know my wife's homesick in bed, but I still serve a God that heals. I still serve a God that heals. It doesn't matter. I still serve a God that hears and answers prayer. And there they would come forth, and oh, what a time we would have. What a time we would have, and people receive their healing, only to go home and find her laying there sick. And this went on. This went on for till there we was time to come back in August. Oh, it was a terrible time packing up. She could only work about a half hour and have to lay down. I just knew that God was going to do something. I had anticipation. I had spiritual perception in my heart to know that God's Word doesn't lie. And I was going to hold God to that if it took everything within me. And therefore, we got back in the States in August there. We were just walking there, and she would try to gain her strength, but she couldn't gain it. And there we went back to Texas Bible College, and there we got a room in there. And Brother Kilgore's church there was having an indoor camp meeting, and the first night she couldn't go because of the trip, and she was so tired. And therefore I went on. I was tired, but I went ahead, and the family went. And the second night, Brother Billy Cole was there, preaching in a great message there. He preached that night, and never will forget the service. And the Lord spoke to him, and he felt led, and he and Brother Kilgore went down and laid hands upon my wife, and instantly, I'm saying instantly, she was touched and healed. She was on four types of medication there to try to keep her body functioning. Thank God she went off all of it. She went off all of it. All of it was tossed away. Thank God. I never will forget it. The next morning, as I was so tired and had back trouble, I remember I was having such a time with my back and such terrible pain there that I never will forget it. But oh, I wanted to rest so bad, but she was up stirring around, and I said, "What is wrong with you?" She said, "I feel great. I feel good." She said, "I'm going to get up and do something today." I said, "Oh my, how good God is. Hallelujah. How great is the Lord." But saints, I'm talking about God working with us and God working through us in this day. How many want to see that? Hallelujah. How many want to see that? Can we stand? Can our musicians come tonight? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. God working with us in this hour means more to me than anything else. Oh, do I want to see revival in our midst? Oh, how I want to see revival. There's so much unconcern. So many people that just so unconcerned, they really don't care if they ever see it. But I'm telling you, you go right on and you can be unconcerned, but you're never going to see God's mighty power displayed. He's going to find somebody. He's going to find somebody that's willing. Amen. That's the reason why we see so much faith in the charismatic movement today, is because of honest people that want something genuine and real. But we Pentecostals, one God Pentecostals that have had it for so long, it's become so normal for us. And we think we can come in and just fold our hands and pick our fingers and just stick our nose up to God and just offer Him any type of sacrifice of praise. But I'm telling you, it better come from your heart. It better come from your heart. Anything you offer to God, doesn't matter how little and how insignificant it can be, it better be genuine. Amen. It better be real if you want the Master to accept it. Hallelujah. In order for Him to work through you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone here tonight that wants to draw closer to Him? that you, more than anything, you want God to operate in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You really don't care what others think. You really don't care. It doesn't matter to you what others think. I said that a long time ago. It don't really matter. I don't care if I'm well known. I don't really care. It don't matter to me. I don't care if I'm well liked. It don't matter to me. I've got past that. Amen. I know I can't please everybody. Not going to try to. I just want to please Him. I just want to please Him. I just want to make sure I'm doing everything that He says I ought to do. I just want to make sure I'm doing everything that the Lord would be pleased with. Amen. I'm asking, is the Lord pleased with your life? Is God pleased with your attitude? Is God pleased with what you're offering Him tonight? Hallelujah. If not, oh, if you feel that little tug down inside that says, hey, I need more of Him, why don't you respond to Him and come tonight? Hallelujah. As we sing tonight. Oh, hallelujah.
To pray.
I'm talking about the use of God in a way to
use the cross.
God, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who says what about me, Lord. Hallelujah. I want more of you tonight. Hallelujah.